Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Profane Argument Podcast, a.k.a. the Soaring Eagles of Freedom, for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. My name is Ray, and along with me are...
I'm Karen.
I'm Jared.
This is Ian.
I just realized that our intro order is the same order that we are in the image.
Oh, my God.
That's a great picture, then.
All right, on this podcast, we talk about news, politics, and religious nonsense, and give our opinions from a secular point of view. If you'd like to join in on our conversation, you can sign up on our Patreon page, which will allow you to chat with us as we record on Discord Tuesday nights right around 9 p.m. Eastern time. If you can't do that, you can post something to our Facebook page or tweet us at ProfaneArg. And I do want to point out, After last week's conversation, there should be working links on profaneargument.com.
Yay.
For said Facebook and Twitter and Discord.
We're stepping it up.
So, yeah, all those links broke, apparently, during one of the back-end updates on the hosting site that I use. So, fixed them all, and they should be there. So, and I'll have to throw in that picture since now I've mentioned it on the podcast. I might put it under the about section.
Yeah.
But in any case, this week, let's see what we got. We've got to talk about Gettysburg.
Oh, my God.
the outrageous blasphemy that happened in Italy. And I've got an update on the birds aren't real. Kind of. It's a semi update.
We're not going to talk about World War III breaking out soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's pretty early on, too. But first, let's hit the I wanted to just mention Center for Inquiry has put out the CSI Con, which is going to be in Las Vegas, October 24th through the 27th. Two of the primary highlights. This is a convention for basically it's the Skeptical Inquiry conference. It's
oh my God, I thought this was for, I'm like, why are we talking about the TV show?
CSI.
Yeah, Con. I'm like, what?
I also thought that, Jared. Don't feel bad.
It's the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, CSI.
Brian Cox, the actor?
Cox, not the actor, scientist.
I love Brian Cox, by the way. He,
he's really great to listen to.
Yeah,
the actor or the scientist?
Scientist.
Well, both.
I mean, the actor's good too, but I like the scientist one too.
Well, the scientist
I like Neil deGrasse Tyson too, but he gets a little
winded,
a little scatterbrained sometimes.
Yeah, Brian Cox, the scientist, also used to be in a band back in the day.
Oh,
so he's an interesting individual.
He was on some show that he narrated, some science-based show. I don't remember what it was, but he was very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was very cosmosy.
Yes. So, in any case, just wanted to throw that out there. There'll be a link on the webpage if you want information on going to that. I did also want to mention Peter Higgs, physicist who proposed the Higgs boson. Has died this week. He was 94, so...
I was shocked that he was still alive, but...
Yeah. Right.
94, well done.
Yeah,
so
you did it.
Back in 1964, he had a theory about how the boson helped bind the universe together by giving particles mass. He had this theory in 1964.
Wow.
And in 2012... scientists were able to discover the Higgs boson at the Large Hadron Collider.
Wow. Took that long to
prove
his theory.
Shit.
Whew. Yeah, yeah. 48 years, I think that is. 48 years for somebody to prove that his theories were correct. But he got to live to see somebody prove that his science was right.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, screw all you other scientists who died 300 years before anybody was able to prove you were right.
So there was a quote from the article. It says, without his theory, atoms could not exist and radioactivity would be a force as strong as electricity and magnetism. According to the original theories, radioactivity was as strong as electricity and magnetism, but his theory proved that it wasn't. His prediction of existence and the particle that bears his name was a deep insight, and its discovery in 2012 was a crowning moment that confirmed his understanding of how the universe works.
Nice.
I think that was 2012. I know we just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
12 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Time flies.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, he was not alone in thinking that this was true. He, his theory had been mathematically proven, just not practically proven.
Well, so. I'm not even saying that in the sense that, like, well, I feel like that just happened. I'm like, well, I feel like that happened like 30 years ago.
Oh.
Oh, no, yeah. I thought it just happened, but can't believe it's been a dozen years.
Yeah. The weird in between.
Yeah.
So let's move on to, speaking of, radiation and, what holds the universe together? Let's talk about World War III.
No,
yeah, baby,
yay!
Or more specifically, how Iran has just sent out drones in an attack against Israel.
This
happened while we were in Scranton.
Isn't there a little more to this though?
Yes, it's not just drones. It's drones and missiles. Well,
no. Wait a minute. Before all this happened, did not Israel?
Yes.
Attack their consulate in some country?
Syria?
Yeah, I thought Israel was writing that off as another oopsie.
No.
Which we know can't be true.
They thought that. Iran said, I'm sorry, I won't accept oopsie. Here have some missiles.
Hmm.
And then they sent, like, knowing full well that their missiles were all going to be shot down, and then posted and said, we consider the matter concluded.
Yep.
You've shot down 99% of our shit. They showed there was one hole near an airport, I believe, that they got through. And then
I thought one person was killed, I think, somewhere.
Oh.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I did not hear that.
One person was killed. Yeah.
And then Israel said, after Iran was like, we consider the matter concluded. Our honor has been sated. Israel's like, no, we're going to fuck you up. And it's not over.
Biden has called Netanyahu and said, no, please don't do that. And Netanyahu, to my knowledge, has said, fuck you, we're going to, do something. Yeah, great. So.
This is...
Staggering.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ian.
No, I don't know. I'm not a player on the world stage, but, if the UN and the United States and all your allies are like, hey, maybe you should slow it down a little bit, and you're like, no, go pound sand. I'm like, then go it alone. See how you do.
Yeah. Good luck,
Good luck to you, Israel. Waterfront property is going to be super valuable, says Don Jr. Or Jared, was that Jared?
That was Jared, yeah.
That was Jared Kushner.
So I just looked it up. I don't know how accurate this is. It's from Al Jazeera. According to this article, there was a 7-year-old girl who was severely injured by shrapnel, was the only known casualty in the attack. This was from an article 14 hours ago.
Okay, so one casualty, not one death, sorry.
Right.
I always think casualty equals death, but that's not the case. So,
yeah. I just learned that now.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't know that anyone was really hurt.
Oh, no, I didn't know there was a differentiation between the two things.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, casualty, I mean, especially when they talk about soldiers, casualties are just you're just off the battlefield because of injury.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think casualty actually includes both.
Oh, yes, it does. It means you're not on the battlefield for reason A or reason B.
Right. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that was my understanding.
Yeah. Wow. I'm not doubting it. I'm just shocked at how new this is for me.
So what was it? Like 300 drones and missiles were sent out. Most of them were shot down because they had to travel like the entire length of Iraq.
Right. Completely over Iraq.
In order to reach Israel.
Yeah, some were shot down over Lebanon. Some were shot down over Iraq. Some were shot down over Israel. But they had airplanes out. They had missiles out. They had all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think it was, besides anything else, it was a true show of what the capabilities of the defense of Israel can do.
I think it was also that Iran knew that this wasn't going to do anything. It was just like, look, we need to at least save a little face here.
Yeah. And get a little recon data, too, maybe.
Either way, at least in my eyes, Israel is the fucking worst.
It's Netanyahu's government. When I say Israel, I'm not talking about Israel,
because apparently most Israeli citizens are like, you need to stop this.
Yeah. I mean, who knew the Netanyahu was a bad guy?
Yeah.
Weird.
I'm still trying to wrap my head. Wasn't he prosecuted for something?
They tried. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, I don't know if he pretended to lose an election, but then was like reelected like 9 months later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not sure of the history.
So I had to look it up real quick. Hearing in October 2019 and 21st of November, Netanyahu was indicted in cases 1,000, 2,000, and 4,000 for charges including breach of trust, accepting bribes, and fraud.
Is it pending since he's still president, or he's president again?
He was legally required to relinquish his ministry portfolios other than prime minister. So he didn't stop being prime minister, I guess?
Is the case on hold until he's no longer prime minister?
I don't know.
Total immunity.
Yeah. Total exoneration.
He is fucking bloodthirsty, man.
Yeah.
He really pushed for Trump to scrap that Iran deal, which he did, and then was like, then when Iran was like, well, if we're not part of this deal, we're going to start enriching uranium, and then he was like, see? I told you!
Dude, you set it up.
He just wants to fucking flatten everything around him.
Yeah.
So apparently it's ongoing. On December 5th, trial judges agreed to reduce the number of court hearings to 2 days a week due to the Israeli-Hamas war. So he's on trial 2 days a week.
Currently. That's wacky.
And there was an update on March 20th. There was a former Israeli minister who testified. Yeah, so it's ongoing. That's crazy. One other thing that I did want to mention about this, though, is it wasn't just the U.S. and Israel. The U.K. was involved, Saudi Arabia, the UAE, and some other Middle Eastern country, Jordan.
Jordan, yeah.
There was a lot of effort to stop this Iranian attack, which to me, I take as a good thing.
Yeah.
We're all just trying to think about this and digest it. Yeah,
I mean, it is still worrisome, and the prospect of more hostilities from Israel toward Iran is not good.
No. So
when I hear people throw it, because again, I made the joke about World War III, but like, how could this turn into World War III? I'm a little lost.
Well, I mean, the problem is the number of nations that are involved. So everybody picks a side, and, you know, it's a retaliatory strike after retaliatory strike, each one bigger than the last, and eventually somebody drops a bomb, and then all hell breaks loose.
If you think about World War II mostly started when Germany invaded Poland because they had an agreement with Poland, and then Russia invaded Poland, and then Germany went into Netherlands and the country right there, I can't think of what the other country is. In any case, they started expanding and doing, so right now you've got Russia fighting in Ukraine, right? Which seems totally unrelated. And yet, Russia and Iran have been allies on several different occasions. Iran has control of Hamas and the Houthis and Hezbollah. So there's Yemen and stuff going on in Syria. And like, there is a large, large contingent of what, you know, comparatively to the Axis in World War II, with Italy and Germany and then eventually Japan. So that's what people are worried about. The idea that there could be multiple fronts with multiple things going on, multiple reasons for it. But maybe, you know, if Russia is allied with Iran and Iran decides to just, you know, do everything they can, you're looking at a really widespread conflict all throughout.
Okay, that's where I got lost. I was like, who is teaming up with Iran? That's what I wanted to know.
Russia is one of the primaries. Okay. And one of their, you know, highest level enemies is Saudi Arabia, which is why we maintain a working relationship with Saudi Arabia, despite our distaste to do so. But they are the enemy of Iran. So that, I mean, and Saudi Arabia and Israel are trying to normalize relationships, even though they still don't like each other. Everybody's picking a side. Jordan is somehow on our side. Crazy. Egypt's trying to stay neutral, I think. Yeah.
But are they trying to stay neutral like Switzerland or like Spain?
Probably more like Spain. Leave us out of this. We don't got any money to deal with you people. Just stay over there. But if it's any consolation, God's super angry at the Arabian Peninsula at the moment. He's dumping tons and tons of floodwaters on them. So, you know, that'll help. Inflame everybody.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to move on. I want to... this one was weird. Let's move on. We always have to talk about Trump, apparently. So he started his first criminal trial this week, yesterday.
Yeah.
And...
Karen got real excited about that.
Yeah, but right before that, he had a rally here in Pennsylvania, and he talked about Gettysburg and what an unbelievable battle that was. I don't know what... So was he trying to, like...
Well, first of all, is it worth noting he was not in Gettysburg?
He was not.
He was in Schnecksville. Schnecksville, yeah. Which is apparently 2 hours from...
Yeah, and then suddenly he started riffing on Gettysburg. Yeah.
Well, but it didn't really make sense. Like, was he trying to do like a hometown rally where he was like, yeah, Pennsylvania, you've got Gettysburg, and he's trying to get people on his side? Is that what he was doing?
Yeah.
All Pennsylvanians know about Gettysburg, duh.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we're famous for.
That's the capital of Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
What
the hell's Schnecksville? I thought it was Shanksville at first. I'm like, well, that kind of makes sense. And no, Schnecksville. It is Schnecksville. I don't know where that is.
Did anybody see Jimmy Kimmel actually wrote it all out, what he said, and then repeated it? And it is way worse when you see it written out.
Yeah, it really is.
It just makes no sense.
Just to give people a taste, what he said, part of what he said was, Gettysburg was so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. Gettysburg, wow. Like...
Then he started to do his little riff on Robert E. Lee.
Right. His bit on Robert E. Lee when he said that Robert E. Lee was quoted as saying, "Don't fight uphill, me boys."
Yeah.
Never fight uphill, me boys.
He said it twice. And then I also liked his little bit where he's like, Robert E. Lee, falling out of favor. Did you know that? Like, what are you talking about? When has he ever been in favor?
He just found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert E. Lee is poorly received?
Weird.
Who knew?
Why do we have all those statues?
He was a rebel who incited violence against his own country. I mean, why do we glorify the South?
Yeah.
But also, he was the one commanding the battle that was never that was being fought uphill. He didn't declare never fight uphill during the battle.
And then they went uphill and he's like, oh, it's too... I think Trump said, oh, that was a mistake, but it was too late. Like, is he lamenting that Robert E. Lee lost in that?
Sure. I mean, that would definitely go to, you know, some of his base.
Right.
He always skates the line, stands shit like that.
Like, does he think when we think of Gettysburg, we're going, oh, that giant mistake of fighting uphill by Robert E. Lee is so sad. And then he goes, and he lost his great general and doesn't mention who it is. And yes, I think you said it is like a seventh grader who did not do the book report and is just doing a riff.
It's the crib notes from the Wikipedia article. It's the TLDR, and he got it wrong.
Not that this will ever have any effect, but it's just hilarious to us.
Yeah. What, you should go back and watch the video, because there's a guy over his left shoulder making faces. It was amusing.
Just making random faces as Trump is talking.
Yeah,
I don't know if he could see himself on the on the screen or something, but
he's a special boy.
Yeah. So I don't know if we're going to come back to Trump, but we talk about the court case so far. I've been kind of following along on Twitter, following along with a couple of reporters.
Don't say.
Yeah. I do it so you don't have to. And for the most part, for the last 2 days, all they've really accomplished is they've got 7 jurors sworn in at this point. They need 18. They're off tomorrow. So they figure Thursday and Friday they'll get the rest of them, and then Monday we'll actually be opening arguments.
I am shocked by these people who are being asked that they just cannot be impartial in this. And I assume in New York, when they mean impartial, like, I want to burn him to the fucking ground. Right? Because if that were me, I would be like, absolutely, I could be impartial. Yeah. No problem. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't even know who Donald Trump is. Who is he?
I've heard of him. He's a real estate guy, yeah, right?
Just he was in Home Alone 2, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, these must be people who are like, I don't want to be on the intro.
Yeah. I mean, out of the 96 people they called in to, for them in the first batch, the first question they asked was, please raise your hand if you can't be impartial. And 50 hands went up in the air. It's like 50, more than half out the door. First question. They're gone. Out of that, I think out of that first 96, they ended up with 3 who are like, who either are not in touch, somehow walk the middle road, or can actually be impartial. Okay. Or are lying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had to want to get out of it, which is staggering. I don't know. Again, I do find myself with Jared on this one.
Mm.
If you're can't be impartial, then just lie.
Yeah.
Like, what is, can you, like, I would vote for death, even if it wasn't on the table.
And again, these might, again, it's most, I'm hoping that it's more likely the people who just don't want to do jury duty.
Yeah.
But again, well, this is momentous. Like, why would you not want to be on the jury?
Not want to be part of history?
Yeah. Right. Write a fucking book after this. Yep. I was on this, I was juror number 7 or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, but when I remember when I went for jury duty and they kept asking people, can you, would you believe a cop over anybody else simply because they're a cop? And I swear 90% of the hands went up in the air.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is wrong with you people? Also, you're making this process longer for me because then the judge has to talk to each juror individually and explain to them why they shouldn't do that. Yeah. Now, I don't know if that's going on in this case, but.
I'm not sure. Well, the police are not witnesses in this case, so probably not.
Well, I mean, like, why you can't...
Maybe say why you FBI.
Can't, but when you raise your hand and be like, I can't be impartial, I don't know if the judge has to talk to each person and explain to them why they shouldn't be. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. Of those, you know, those 50 people raised their hands and then 5 minutes later were out the door, so...
Oh.
Yeah.
I guess it's different when you have millions of people to pull from and not thousands like where I live.
Yeah, I mean, they I think the first pool was like 500 people, and they were bringing them in 96 people at a time. So yeah, they've got a lot to choose from. And this is an area that voted 90% for Hillary Clinton. So I don't know what the number was for Biden, but it was probably equally high.
Oh yeah, I'd be lying my ass off.
Can I be foreman? I want to be foreman.
I'm curious, like, would it be lying, like? I can be impartial. Like, I can look at the facts and go, okay, have you proved the case or not? Yeah. I could be rooting one way, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to lie and...
Right.
Yeah, they have to prove their case. I don't think that's going to be difficult, but they do have to prove their case.
I mean, someone already went to jail over this.
Yeah. Yeah, the wiggle room is the problem. Mm. Trump always finds the wiggle room.
I actually don't know if I have anything else about Trump. So is there anything else we want to discuss about him?
I mean, besides Gettysburg and that, and he fell asleep.
And he fell asleep, yeah.
Right. I did like the Jake Tapper had Maggie Haberman on, was like, so you're reporting for CNN, and you had said that he fell asleep. Like, what, you know, can you elaborate on that? And Maggie Haberman was like, his jaw went slack and his head fell on his chest. He went to sleep.
Yeah.
He was awake. He's no longer awake.
He did get yelled at by the judge today for muttering towards a juror. That also, was audible.
This guy, he cannot keep his fucking mouth shut with these gag orders.
No. No, that there's a hearing next week to determine what the court is going to do about him not following the gag order. So... Nothing is the answer, but, you know, a couple $1,000 and a stern talking to.
Why is there a hearing? Like, the judge gave an order. Trump violated the order. Why can't the judge just stand down at you? You're in contempt. Here's your fine or whatever. Like,
Dino.
You can on people who aren't rich. So. Yeah.
Why does he get special treatment? And you give him a week, he's going to keep doing it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also love to Trump bitching and moaning that the judge is like, I'm not going to allow you to go see Barron's graduation next week, but the judge has not ruled on that yet.
Hasn't ruled on it. And guess how many of his other children's graduations he's gone to?
I'm going to say 0.
Yeah, 0. Exactly.
I'm going to guess 1.
You say he went to Ivanka's?
Yep.
I don't know. She'd have that all covering. It should be covered up. There's no point in him going if she's all covered up. Ew.
Yeah. She's always the favorite.
That's gross, Garrett.
Sorry.
Yeah, but then he could, you know, grab her butt and just say, oh, sorry, I meant to grab your waist.
Ugh. Ick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the way you should feel when you think about Trump.
His stock dropped to about $23 today from a high of 70. So, yes.
Thanks for bringing that up, Hypatia.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yep.
Yeah. So he has lost billions of dollars of fake money that never actually existed.
Well, so have all of the people that he, you know, convinced to buy his stock. So
I did see on social media several people like saying, I keep buying stock and it just keeps going down. I was told that the more we buy, the more it inflates.
Yeah. Well, he also, they increased the amount of stock. They filed paperwork yesterday with the SEC. Yep. So.
Yep. They increased the total number of shares, devaluing it further.
Yep. It was like by 15%, I think. And so the stock tanked 18%. So yesterday, and then it tanked another 15% today. It's going to three. It's going to tree fitty, roughly.
All right. That's, like I said, that's all I have about Trump. Let's talk about Representative Thomas Massie, who tweeted out, I just told Mike Johnson in conference that I'm co-sponsoring the motion to vacate that was introduced by
Marjorie
Taylor Greene.
Yeah. Sorry, for some reason her name eluded me. All it has is MTG, and I know someone here doesn't like MTG, so... The representative went on and said he should pre-announce his resignation like Boehner did so that we can get a new speaker without ever being without a GOP speaker.
But so he refused.
The GOP still falling apart.
Yeah. I don't know if they still only have a majority of one. I don't know if some of them have been replaced at this point. I don't know what the numbers are, but they don't have a lot of wiggle room. I found it interesting that this happened immediately after the speaker said that he was going to bring to the floor a vote on money to Ukraine and Israel and Hong Kong.
Hong Kong needs money from us, too?
To defend themselves against China, yeah. Mm. I mean, they probably do, but...
It's just the idea that the grand old party just... I mean, they can't agree on anything.
No.
You can't have a regular standard conservative and a MAGA group agree on anything either. So we really do at this point kind of have three parties, but just not in name.
Well, totally. And so when Trump renames the Republicans to the Trump Party, which I give about a 50-50 shot that he's going to try to do it.
Does he go Trump or MAGA?
No, it's got to be Trump.
MAGA's already built in.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, though.
Put his name on it?
His own branding. Yeah, he can't not have that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. Oh, so many ways it could go.
And take all of the MAGAs and on the, you know, the far right Republicans and have the Trump Party. He's just going to rename, you know, the Republican National Committee to the Trump National Committee and do a piece at a time.
Laura's working on that right now.
Yep.
I like that. Nigel in Discord said it's more of a wake rather than a party.
Yeah, really is.
All right. And something else in the kind of GOP adjacent, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. What is it? She's being audited now because she bought a lectern?
Yes.
From a friend. A lectern. You know, one of the little stands that you give your speeches at.
A podium with a microphone, if you will.
Yeah, for $19,000. Using taxpayers' funding.
Right. And she bought it from one of her best buds, who she went on a trip to Paris with. And this lady does not sell lecterns. So she... And she gave her the money for the lectern before she actually got the lectern.
Is there anything special about the lectern?
No.
She said that it was special because it was lower, so it was the height that a woman would feel comfortable at.
And that cost $19,000 to do?
No, of course not. It's a standard lectern. And she actually showed it on her Twitter feed, a picture of it with video and sound and stuff, and it's just a lectern. $19,000, something that should cost, I don't know, $1,800 maybe? I don't know. $19,000. And then they went on a trip to Paris together.
Ian, which one of us is going to run for office and which of us is going to be the woodworker?
Yeah, I mean, so I think It started off as a grift, but now she's lied about it, and they've you know, changed documents, and who knows what else they've found, because stealing money from the people, that's what they do.
That is pretty much their entire platform.
Yeah. Yeah. It is the weirdest grift, though.
Jared, I feel like you would have better luck running that grift with Adam, because he has, like, a built-in, you know, legitimacy.
You know what? I feel like I could build a lectern. It doesn't look that complicated, you know? And I could certainly use a smaller piece of wood if you were... I mean, you're pretty tall, Ian. Maybe I just need to make a bigger one.
Right?
Well, you need an adjustable one. It goes up or down a foot, you know.
I'll even go further so we don't get caught. I'll engrave your name in it with, like, a wood burner.
Nice.
Governor Guff.
It's such a weird story. And I was reading it today. I'm like, this is just odd.
Yeah, I mean, to know the conversation that they had to get to this.
I mean, I think it's, well, I'd love to go to Paris with you, but I'm kind of short on cash. I've been, you know, spending all my time supporting your bid to be governor. And she's like, well, I can route some money to you. And how it was 19K should cover it. And we'll just say you provided me with, let me see, what could it be? How about a lectern? Yeah, a lectern. I mean.
Right. No one will look into that. That's boring.
Yeah.
It's not salacious. It's not interesting.
Right.
So there are actually bullet items in this article. Let's run them down real quick. Okay. Payment for the lectern was made before it was delivered. The purchase of the lectern was tallied as an operating expense, even though it's a piece of equipment. The state agency responsible for the governor's office record keeping was not notified of delivery, meaning the purchase was not properly recorded. Selling state property requires a notice to the state procurement director and the Department of Finance Administration. Governor's office sold the lectern and case directly to the Republican Party of Arkansas. The governor's office staffer shredded the bill of lading for the lectern delivery. The governor's office didn't draw up a business expense justification statement until after the purchase was made. And during the Freedom of Information Act request, legislative audit discovered three versions of the invoice, two of which contained handwritten notation to be reimbursed. So it's all, like, no rules were followed. All was attempted to be done off book, and then they wrote it in later.
Yeah.
Exactly how Jesus would do it. Right? Aren't these Huckabees Jesus nuts?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, buddy. Well,
I'm sure pretend, but yes.
And they even gave a diagram on this lectern.
Yep.
This is a very detailed article.
I'm surprised you got caught.
I think it is due to this intrepid journalist, Mr. Matt Campbell. He's been following and poking at it for quite some time now.
All this over a lectern.
Yeah.
Is she calling this a witch hunt? Is this a witch hunt?
Total witch hunt.
I'm sure she said that at some point. I mean, I think the real point is that if they're willing to do this, what else is in the books that we don't know about? Because this is such bullshit. I mean, it's, you know, $19,000 so they could go to Paris for vacation. What else is there?
And she's very so true. Unlikable. Why? I can't, she is just the worst.
Yeah. Yeah, she is arrogant, horrible, horrible person.
Well, I can't wait for her to not pay any consequences for this.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's not high enough up the food chain to not pay.
I bet you nothing comes out of this.
Yeah, we'll see. You're probably right, but I like to have a little hope.
I made a whoopsie. Sorry.
Made a whoopsie.
It's really a victimless crime when you think about
it. Yeah. I mean, who fucking cares about the taxpayers?
Yeah. Or it's every taxpayer in the state.
Yeah.
All right. A new state law. Yay, Virginia.
Uh-oh.
Virginia becomes the first state, quote unquote, in the South to ban child marriage.
Oh.
I know technically Virginia is in the South, and I know Virginia is, you know, on the list of marrying your cousin and having sex with kids and marrying kids is okay, but sure, it's in the South, I guess. To me, Virginia is very north to be in the South, but whatever.
Hmm.
So there are only 11 other states in the U.S. that have made it illegal for children to marry without exemptions. 11. Six of them, including Virginia's, in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, I think that's in one of our earlier episodes, I think we went through a some of this, and it's it's getting better, but it's uncomfortable.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Where's Pennsylvania on this?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I don't believe Pennsylvania is mentioned in this.
No, I think Pennsylvania is one of the 18 and with parental permission 16 states.
I'm trying to see. Yeah, so Pennsylvania is in the category of bill passed ends child marriage.
Mm.
So I don't know when.
2020 it changed. Yeah.
So
in no the exceptions.
Last several years.
Now if we could just get that minimum wage up.
Yeah.
No way. That's the downfall of society. That causes inflation. Inflation doesn't go up unless wages go up. Everyone knows that.
So, you know, yay, Virginia. But why are we waiting so long on this? But okay.
Well, I've seen stories within the past year or so of, you know, Republicans standing up in the well of their state house saying, you know, my grandmother got married at 15 years old. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, yeah. Or what was it in Tennessee recently? I think it was Tennessee. My grandparents were first cousins and they got married and I turned out fine.
Maybe you shouldn't be bragging about that. Maybe.
Why are you fighting for this to not be against the... Like, what are you getting out of this?
Yeah. Cousins cute? I don't know.
But, I mean, I'm assuming, like, these are, like, old Republicans who have probably been married already. Like,
yeah.
Are you thinking maybe one day you're going to pick up a child bride? Or...
They want to keep their options open.
Ugh. So, moving on to Maine... GOP lawmaker made an interesting statement in Maine, and apparently another lawmaker backed him up. So these two lawmakers are facing possible censures after one said that the deadliest mass shooting in the state, the Lewiston shooting in October, was a sign of retribution from God over the passage of a law expanding abortion access by the Democratic-led state legislature and their immoral laws.
Oh, good Lord.
That's the level of intellect you come to expect from the GOP.
Yeah. Again.
I like that the guy shopped that idea around, and there was a whole other guy who was like, that's great, let's do it.
I mean, I'm really surprised it's only two, I guess, at this point.
Yeah. Surprisingly low.
Yeah. They are facing...
Great job, Maine.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is they're facing possible censure. As in, you know, shut up. What the hell?
I quote President Biden when I say, just shut up, man.
Are these two also pushing for child brides at the same time? Yeah. Or they seem like the type.
Not that I'm aware of, but...
Probably.
Let's see. What do we got here? Colorado. I've got a... Colorado blocking too. Everything here.
Mm.
So, right, Colorado has joined 11 other states in putting abortion rights measures on their ballots.
Oh, good.
Colorado's not quite there, but it's pretty close. It's about as close as you can get. The signatures are there. It's been approved. They got signatures from more than 225,000 registered voters. They required 124,000, so they got 101,000 more signatures than they needed.
Nice.
Wow.
But that is, the total must include 2% of all registered voters, but apparently they got closer to 4% in signatures.
Damn.
But, yeah.
That makes me think it might be popular.
Yeah. So at this point, yeah, there's a graphic in this article talking about... abortion rights could be on the ballot in 11 states this fall. It's already on the ballot in New York, Maryland, Florida, and states. They're working on it now in Montana, South Dakota, Nebraska, Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, thank you. Arkansas, Missouri. Never remember which one's New Mexico and which one's Arizona.
And Colorado's very close, according to this article.
Cool.
Mainly because in Colorado, there are currently no laws restricting abortion care. So this is going to then make it a law in the state. And the good thing about this is the more states that have this on as a law, the closer we are to being able to actually get it as a federal law.
Right.
Why?
In order to have like something like a...
Constitutional amendment.
A constitutional amendment. It has to be ratified by a certain number of states. And when the states have these on those laws, that's easier to do. Okay. And also, the governors can petition the government. If all these governors get these laws on the books, they can then petition the government to say, look, your federal legislature needs to address this.
Yeah, well, the last time we had a constitutional amendment was in 1971, I want to say.
So it's time.
It is time, but we still have one that's pending, and that's the Equal Rights Amendment. Let's do both, but come on. Equal Rights Amendment has been languishing for, 35 years or something crazy?
That
Stupid
is
yep. Tate.
Bonkers Won't ratify
it. Yeah, it is bonkers.
So where are we at? We're a quarter till. Let's move on to religious nonsense. This is from overseas. This one's funny. So the link I have doesn't have the actual commercial, but there was a commercial that caused outrageous uproar in the Catholic community in Italy. And if you can imagine, the Catholic community in Italy is a lot of the community.
Sure.
This commercial was declared as being an outrageous blasphemy against the Catholic Church. What is the why? Because, and this is their argument, the argument is that in the commercial there are nuns coming up to receive communion, and when the priest gives her the wafer, it crunches like a potato chip. And so the Catholic Church, it's a potato chip commercial. The Catholic Church is outraged because it offends the sensitivity of millions of practicing Catholics by trivializing the comparison between a potato chip and a consecrated object.
I mean, in their minds, it is the representation of the body of Christ. They say that as they stick it in your mouth.
So it's still just a piece of bread.
It is, yeah.
Now,
but I guess what they're saying is that they would rather eat this potato chip than Christ.
So, yes, I think that's the argument, is that this potato chip is better than partaking in Christ's body.
Mm.
Which,
yeah,
just on
it probably does taste better.
Right, yeah, on flat, yeah, it would. However, I happened to watch this commercial.
Mm-hmm.
The priest and the nun who is receiving communion both react like, what was that sound? And they look over, and there's another nun who's not receiving communion off the side of the sanctuary eating potato chips.
Oh.
It wasn't the nun getting communion that was eating the potato chip. Oh. It was a nun over the side. So it's
so
not.
So you were not to have snacks while other people are receiving
right.
communion.
So they weren't okay. saying the potato chip is better and the nun liked it, but like none of that actually right. was what
it's
was being
more
said.
More of a comment on the crunch.
Right.
That our chips are so crunchy.
Disrespectful whilst someone is receiving communion. Wow.
But that's not their
Thanks,
argument.
Catholic Church? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I never turn on a commercial and go, man, I wish I was listening to people eat right now.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, I mean, good job, Catholic Church there.
Yeah. It's just silly.
It is. It's
it like, is nonsense.
There are so many things going on, like your priest diddling kids, that there's probably other things to get upset about other than this commercial.
Yeah.
I disagree. Christianity is under attack.
Well, remember that the Italians just voted in a far right person. I don't remember.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So, there's...
Isn't it like Mussolini's grandniece or something?
Something like that. I'm sure that's inflammatory and not accurate, but it's similar.
Yeah. There's authoritarianism in the wings, so watch out.
Anyway, one, I thought this was funny. The commercial is actually funny. I actually want to go buy these chips now. They're Amica chips, or I don't know. But that's
Amica.
How I pronounce it.
It could be Amica.
Amica, probably.
Mm. I don't know.
That's more likely. Amica really sounds like the stupid American way of pronouncing their chips.
No, a stupid American way would be Amica.
No, it would probably be like Parandiac instead of Parandiac.
Leave our patrons alone.
Oh, sorry. He's gone. Right. He didn't hear me.
This one was a crazy one, this next one, that was brought to me by Spin Jim, who is not here tonight, but I do thank him for sending this in. This is crazy, and I don't quite understand the timeline of it, but here's what happened. There was a woman in Tennessee who was pulled over by a police sheriff's deputy. She was pulled over because the tint of her windows was a little too dark.
That was an excuse.
That's a big thing around here, people getting pulled over. So
really?
It's a handy excuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I mean, the kids around here and the tint and the cops, it's amazing.
Well, so, I mean, the cops are just using it as an excuse to pull you over. They used to use your inspection sticker, but they got rid of the stickers. So now they use tint. That's all.
What do you mean they got rid of the inspection? You don't get an inspection sticker anymore?
Registration sticker on your license plate.
Yeah.
That one. That used to be the excuse to pull people over. Now they use tint instead. It's just an excuse to sniff and see if you got pot, if you're hot boxing.
his excuse was, I wanted to see if her tint was too dark. He wanted to, because, you know, he was suspicious it might be too dark. Mm-hmm. So then he pulled her over and he smelled the devil's lettuce.
Yep.
Classic.
So he, you know, you could write a fine, you could arrest her for possession. I'm sure it's not legal in Tennessee. Actually, I'm not sure because it's been legalized all over the place, but Tennessee seems unlikely. Mm. But instead, he made her an offer.
Whoa.
He said, I could arrest you, or you could come with me to the lake over here and let me baptize you, and then I'll let you go.
What?
Yep.
Man, I thought this was going to turn into my favorite porno on Pornhub, but now it's taking a weird turn.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Now it's your favorite porno on TabooExtreme.com. Yeah.
So she has since filed a lawsuit.
Oh, she didn't take him up on the baptism?
Oh, well, she did. But when he made this offer, he had pulled her out of the car, put handcuffs on her, and put her in the backseat of the car. According to her lawsuit, he also groped her while doing so.
Nice.
I'm sure that was his, you know, searching for weapons or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
And then made the offer. So she was like, so, yes, I'm going to take you up on this. She drove home with him following. She went inside, got towels, came back out, and then followed him to the lake, which was a 12-minute drive away, and then he baptized her. Now, in the process, he stripped down to his underwear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
She remained fully clothed.
Okay. It's getting weirder.
He baptized her, and she went home.
So he's got a wet clothing fetish, right?
I'm not saying anything more than the details. I don't know. So here's the other thing. This all happened quite a while ago. This article was originally written in 2022. The woman has since died.
Oh.
The case is still going on because the attorney has told people that I think the history of media will show how baptism by a police officer in the line of duty in exchange for leniency in a criminal case is beyond the pale.
Yeah.
Also, she's charging him with you know, sexual misconduct and, you know, just the whole thing. I mean, there's also the thing of something, I don't remember how the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution is worded, but he basically forced her to travel with him to another location. Like, when you arrest someone, you have to take them to the local jail or whatever. You can't take them on a tour of the city and do whatever you want with them.
Yeah. Yeah, when technically she was semi-in custody. Yeah. Huh. That is a bonkers story.
Yeah. So, also, her death is still under investigation.
Oh.
The cause of death has not been determined. An autopsy has yet to be performed, but the lawyer is asking for that. So the question is, I mean, there's several questions. Like, did this deputy go and kill her?
Is he still a cop after, I assume he's allowed to be?
As far as I know, he is still a cop, even though he was indicted in 2019 on 44 counts, including rape, assault, and official oppression.
Oh, wow. So to answer your previous question, Yes, he killed her.
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
Huh. I can't believe
that. The serial rapist cop? Probably?
Yeah. I can't believe that he did. He was. Wait a minute. What was he? He was accused of those other things, or he was actually proven to have done them?
Indicted.
No, he was accused. Yeah. He was indicted.
And well, still loved
to
be a cop?
Well, all of those, because of what he did to her, it's really not clear in this article.
No. Wait. Yeah, I'm so confused how he was still a cop in 2022.
Right. If this happened in 2019.
Right. And if he's still a cop after all that, I can't imagine baptizing a girl would make you feel like you were going to lose your job.
So the article is not clear, but the way I'm getting it is this happened in 2019. She filed a suit. He was indicted on it. But he's still a cop. They were investigating her death, and it's still ongoing. This was actually brought up in I don't have it in front of me, an IJ podcast. It's some sort of justice podcast. I listened to a bit of it to get the story, but it's basically lawyers reviewing the case and saying like what laws are being broken and stuff. So it's really kind of a dry podcast.
Yeah. Huh.
But yeah, this is still ongoing, still being investigated.
I guess I'm leaning towards more what Ian said, that this guy absolutely did kill her. But I'm like, dude, he got off on that, all that other shit.
Or were those charges based upon what he did to her at that time?
Oh, okay. I thought previously he had done
Okay. Yeah, the Chattanooga has a little bit more. It's a very long article, though, so I'm not gonna, I don't have time to read the whole thing, but... it looks like all this went down in 2019, so...
And it also looks like a federal jury has found in favor of the deputy.
Oh. Huh.
What a shock.
What a surprise, but...
Oh, so he's not... He apparently resigned.
Ah, okay.
But then it wasn't until 4 years later that the jury found in his favor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
So I'm curious if he denied the baptism, or they're just like, no, there's nothing wrong with what you did.
I mean, the problem was,
hope it's A.
Yeah, the victim was dead. So I don't know if the federal case went away because there's no victim to testify against him. You have to be able to, you know.
And apparently of those 44 indictments, some are still. Yeah. So this is the part. He's still in court. Three cases still remain against him, including two that have issues that are on appeal and one that is still set for trial.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, like I had said from the podcast, it's still ongoing. He's still, but according to the Tennessee woman who was baptized is where the jury found in favor of him. And yeah, there's no witness against him.
Right. You have to be able to face your accuser. He filmed this, too. He filmed her baptism.
What? Okay, so he definitely did it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 100% yes, still.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the people who did let him off had to have said, or, like, my God, what is wrong? What is wrong with him?
I would also like to mention that the lawyers who were discussing this case in the podcast, they were talking about how... It's not the first time that a law enforcement officer has said that they would be lenient if the person received a baptism on the spot. Apparently, this has happened multiple times.
That's fucked up.
Now, granted...
Beyond what I can comprehend easily.
Yeah, if it were me and I was in this situation, I would definitely go for the baptism because the baptism means nothing to me.
Right.
Right.
And I also, like, get off. And it's unlikely I'm going to be molested by a male cop. I can't believe that she went along with it.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, like, did he really...
Yeah, do you want to go to jail, or do you want to go potentially to jail for weed? Or could I lure you 12 miles away to a lake where I'm going to strip down to my underwear and hold you underwater until I feel like you've repented?
Yeah. Like, damn.
Jail, please!
Yeah, take me to jail.
Can I have that offer in writing, please, before we decide which I'm going to take?
Yeah, I was going to say, email that to me.
Yeah.
So let me ask you all a question.
Mm.
And this always goes back to true believer or not. Did he really believe that baptism was going to make a difference in her life? Or is he just some kind of weird sexo?
99% no. He's just a weirdo.
All B.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with B.
Now, does he really... All right, so here's what else I'm speculating on. He has always been, you know, a weird... I don't know. Yeah, he's been kind of like a, you know, a deviant abuser his whole life. So he was already, you know, caught doing those things and from a very young age, and he was told how bad it was and that he needed to be baptized and needed to
repent.
So now when he feels those urges and he wants to hurt a woman in that way, he mixes in the baptism with it to help alleviate the guilt of the crimes that he's committing.
Ah,
and then says, I can't get my cop uniform wet. I'm a cop, so let me get down to my underwear.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I can't get the belt wet, can't get the uniform wet. Underwear you can just deal with.
Yeah, I'm still on duty, lady.
Yeah.
What are you, I'm not going to sit around in my wet clothes all night.
I'm saving
you're
going to
have wet undies the entire night? Anyway, yeah.
You're right. Nigel's correct.
Well, maybe he's got a spare pair of the car.
Right. Or he could take, once she leaves, he can take the wet undies off.
Just go commando.
Get dressed in his uniform and, yeah, stick those in the glove box until he gets home.
As Nigel said, the clue is in the underwear.
Yeah.
Crazy story. Thanks again, Spin Jim.
Yeah. People are strange.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy, I'm scared. I'm actually scared. If, like, I have no real power in my life over anybody at all. Like, I'm concerned. Like, what? Just giving someone a slight power seems to just warp their fucking brains.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Like, is that so, like, I wonder if that, if it's the power or the person, you know?
And in my mind, anytime I get pulled over or anything, it's kind of like the, you know, the cops always say, well, when we pull somebody over, do they have a gun? You know, we just never know what we're facing. It's the same thing when you get pulled over. Put your hands up on the wheel at 10 and 2, roll the window down so they can clearly see you're not wielding a weapon. Like, do everything you can because you don't know what you're going to be facing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what this guy's mindset is or how, I mean, did everybody see the cop who blasted his own car when an acorn hit it?
No.
No? You have not seen this video? Did you see it?
I saw the headline for the video, but I was at work and I didn't make time for the video.
Oh my God. So, and this is all on, what do you call it? Body cam. They have a suspect in the car, handcuffed. He's walking away from the car and a acorn drops from the tree and hits the hood of the car. He immediately spins around and says, shots fired, and starts blasting bullets into his own car. And then another cop who was getting a statement, like maybe 30 feet away from him, hears him shooting and yelling, fucking, yeah, and he's rolling around and shit in the grass. And she's like, what the fuck? So she starts blasting the car. Now think about the man in the car.
Yeah. Right? Just got hit by an acorn.
Yeah. Apparently he was not killed or anything, but he must have been like, what in the fuck is going on? Right?
Are we sure this isn't an episode of Reno 911?
It feels like it. He even thought he got hit. The cop. He's like, I think I'm hit. And other cops came up and he's asking me, he's like, am I hit anywhere? And they're like, no. And I'm sure they're both. I mean, the woman cop who ran over, like, I can't blame her because the other one was freaking out. But
already firing.
Right? Yeah. And I'm sure he's still a cop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It's consequence-free.
Yeah.
But I think that's weird, the, you know, the psychological effect that can have, you know, where he is now physically convinced himself that he's been hit. It's like those cops that, you know, show up at a drug bust and someone says the word fentanyl and they fall over and start having seizures like they're having some sort of OD because they didn't come in contact with any of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've heard enough and seen enough TV that know that if you just say fentanyl aloud, someone dies of an OD.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Is that a thing?
What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Cops start
pretending to have fentanyl overdoses because they're so scared of fentanyl. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's an absolute thing.
Well, with the guy in the acorn, I think a lot of it just comes down to that, first of all, the minuscule amount of training you get to have to do before you are a cop.
No.
Yeah.
And the fact that they drill it into their fucking heads that everybody wants to kill them.
Yeah. I mean, your first priority is to survive. that kind of nonsense, yeah.
Like, wasn't there a story where some guy was, like, flipping out on a fucking subway train in New York, and they're like, there was a cop there, and they're like, go in there. He's like, I'm not going in there. I might get hurt.
Yeah.
And then they were like, yeah, his life was very important.
I mean, the ultimate case of that is Uvalde, Texas, in the school. For 75 minutes, they stood outside while some psycho was killing babies. Outrageous. And there's still been no consequences for that. And that's been a couple of years now.
I think there's been some retirements.
They are continually baffled why there is public outcry against them.
Yeah.
We're the good guys. Why are you guys so mad?
This is what happens when you defund the police. We get shitty police officers.
Yeah. I mean, I
guys, once we're shitty well before that, and you didn't lose any money. You're kidding no one.
You get the ones who shoot at acorns.
I think a couple of the cops in Uvalde were, forced to resign or whatever. But
it was pretty minimal, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the very least, you can't do your job, you lose your job.
Yeah, but there's no jail. Yeah, exactly, Hypatia. There's no jail time. Nobody really had any consequences. The one, who was it, the city manager or something, was voted back in, for Christ's sake. He had resigned, and then they voted him back in again. I'm like, you people are out of your fucking minds.
Yep.
There's no ongoing cases or anything? I assume there was some.
No, like, I don't think so.
Really?
No.
All right, we are going a little long. I am going to move on to some of the medical stuff real quick. There was an article in the Skeptical Inquirer talking about Lyme disease. And why is Lyme disease plagued with so much misinformation? How dangerous is Lyme disease? Getting it? Having it? Yes, it's dangerous. Lyme disease is really bad. How often do people get Lyme disease? Not very often. Oh. So... It compares to, like, getting the flu in some ways. 0.14% of the U.S. population has had Lyme disease.
Well, the problem with Lyme disease, though, is that once you have it, you won't clear it yourself. And it's hard to diagnose after the initial symptoms go away.
I heard that it's very hard to diagnose.
It is. The symptoms are so weird and subtle that they don't often test for it. Oh, they're getting better at that.
Right, right. So there are about 30,000 to 50,000 confirmed cases reported every year. The CDC estimates up to 475,000 could be infected annually. Mm. Could be, because it's really hard for people to know. It's frequently overdiagnosed or misdiagnosed among individuals who do not currently or actually have Lyme disease, and as a result, antibiotic prescriptions are also issued unnecessarily.
Well, there is a test for it. If you get the test, and then if you have Lyme disease, then you get it's a heavy antibiotic dose.
Sure.
And it's an oddball one.
But like every year, local news, you will hear about Lyme disease and the ticks that spread it.
Yeah.
It's always big news. Basically, the article is it serious? Yes, but you have to be bitten by a tick of the right species. They only live in certain areas. The tick has to be infected with a B. burgdorferi virus that only exists in certain areas. The tick has to feed for at least 24 hours without being removed in order for enough bacteria to get into the skin to activate your immune system. So it's rare, and yet you hear it every year in the news about Lyme disease being spread.
Mm.
You know what the news isn't talking about?
AIDS.
Measles.
Measles, yeah.
The measles, it is possible. There's an article on Ars Technica talking about the fact that measles could become endemic again in the U.S.
Thanks, anti-vaxxers.
And it's specifically, they have all the numbers, 338 cases of measles. The median age was 3 years old.
Ugh.
97 of the cases were just this year, in the first few months of this year. 93 cases were directly imported to the country. Of the 338 cases, 309 cases were unvaccinated or had unknown vaccine status. 91% of the cases were because the people were unvaccinated.
I mean, that's not surprising, but it's...
Right, yeah. This is because this is an anti-vax thing. I thought you were suggesting that somehow too much Lyme disease awareness caused this measles outbreak.
No, it's just...
It's a new story.
Yes.
That was just a really good segue. Yes. I'm sorry. No,
well, not exactly.
I thought you were still on Lyme disease, like, goddamn Lyme disease and their preventative measures. I'm tired of spraying bug spray on me before I go hike in the woods. Well, they're causing measles.
Well, I'm glad. The point was that you were saying, like, all this coverage of something that could really not happen to you as opposed to this thing. Mm.
Right. If the okay, if the news were to constantly cover...
It was a long lead-up to this measles story is what it was.
I got it. It
wasn't just a lead-up. If the news would cover measles the way it covers Lyme disease every year, then maybe people would realize, oh, I should get vaccinated. Maybe it would help dissuade the misinformation that's out there about about vaccines.
Maybe. I mean, not to downplay measles, but just to talk about Lyme disease for a second. If you live in an area where Lyme disease is rampant and there's a deer population near where you live, your risk is higher. You have to know your environment.
I guess I'm just not wrong. Mm. I mean, we could talk in a different way or spread it around a little bit more, but I mean, I'm not aware of any grift that, like, you know. Mm. Lyme disease prevention is funneling money away from something else, or, you know, putting some anti, you know, mosquito spray before you go on a hike in the woods is bad. Like, I have no issue with Lyme disease prevention. I'm happy to hear that it's not that prevalent and that it's really unlikely, you know, that you'll ever get it. But I'm not going to be, you know, more cavalier about Lyme disease so that I can be stricter about measles. Like, I have the capacity for both.
No, yeah, it's not an either or. It's just my point of combining the two things was to state that if the news, like, the news definitely does run things about Lyme disease every single year. And maybe if we put more information out about how you need to be vaccinated against measles so that this doesn't get worse and we don't have to constantly deal with measles, if every news, because we all know that the local news, most of them are owned by one company.
Sinclair.
Yeah. If Sinclair would put out a note saying, hey, do a little bit about vaccinations, do a little bit about, you know, measles, do... get this information out there. Maybe we could counter all the misinformation that is already out there. They're doing it with Lyme disease.
Well, I think they're actually okay with people getting Lyme disease because it supports the pharmaceutical industry. It makes people weaker and more vulnerable. Not majorly, but minorly weaker and more vulnerable. And they're okay with that. I don't think they have a problem with that. The other thing is, I don't know that more awareness about measles will get that many people vaccinated. The problem is they're all pot committed now to not vaccinate. The same reason we're not shaking the Trump supporters.
We just can't keep supporting for the people that who would.
Sure. You know? I mean, we can probably peel some off of the edges, but there's a core of, you know, what's her name?
Marjorie Taylor Greene's out there?
No, the anti-vaxxer that started all this, the actress. I forget her name is.
Playboy Playmate.
Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah, she is the one.
I've never had anybody call her an actress before. That's funny.
Oh, sorry.
That's why we couldn't guess. The actress.
I know her as another game show host who fucked this country up.
I mean, she started this, you know, in popular culture, and there's a contingent of people that will never be back on board with science again. Just like there's a contingent of people that Trump is their god.
I don't know what argument you're trying to make, though. Are you making the argument that we shouldn't try to influence anyone? Because, I mean, even if you influence a couple people, then they will talk to their friends about it. And, you know, if every time the anti-vaxxers start up a conversation, maybe there'll be a couple more voices against them.
Yeah.
Right, or were you arguing that the people were okay with vaccines, and now they're anti-vax, and they can't possibly ever be turned back? How did they get turned anti-vax in the first place?
Yeah, but they're really
probably Lyme disease problems.
Maybe.
How pot committed are they, though?
Their brains were swelling from the Lyme disease.
Right?
I don't know.
I don't either. I am kind of implying it, though. I was going to say, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm like, I'm kind of suggesting that heavily. Sorry. So,
I mean, you could probably...
Not that you're wrong. Maybe I just deeply disagree with
well,
you.
What is the end of your argument? Is the argument, then we shouldn't do anything?
No. My argument is we should definitely try, but don't expect huge results, is my point.
Oh, it was an expectation management point.
Yes.
That's great advice for life, I think. Mm.
Well, and my
but you could take this in a different direction and just be like, this is a whole commentary on news in general, because there's a lot of things you can spend more time on that they don't. Like, you know how many times in the past 2 months I've turned on the news and seen a story about skyrocketing prices at fast food joints and right. that people are opting to not go to fast food and actually buy groceries? Mm. And somehow this is a bad fucking thing? And I don't even know if it's fucking true, to be honest with you, because whatever we hear about it, and they go, but why are the prices so high now at McDonald's?
And meanwhile, it's not that high, but they're putting out this as news, so people believe it, and it just propagates. It just expands on itself.
It's also anti-minimum wage.
Because right, very much so.
They usually go back to that and say, oh, it has to do with rising prices and salary. Which is bullshit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you could say, don't play that story. Tell me about measles. And right. You know, or, I mean, Jesus.
So, I guess my point is, fuck Sinclair. That's...
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
They seem awful.
All right. Final thing. I mentioned this in the beginning. I'm sure you guys might remember the birds aren't real conspiracy.
Love it.
So, love Peter, it. How do you pronounce his name? McIndo? Maybe?
No idea.
He spent the first several years of his 20s traveling across the country, being insulted by strangers, and as it turns out, it was all field work. So he went across the country in this van that said, birds aren't real. And it had a diagram of the bird and how the bird is designed by our government, or governments, as a surveillance device. It's an electronic surveillance device that goes around. They surveil everybody. They're not birds. They're not real. Birds are these surveillance devices. And, well, but don't they need to charge? Sure they do. They land on all the power lines, right? That's them recharging. Just like you put your iPhone on a what are they called?
MagSafe.
Yeah. Charger?
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't need a cord. You just land on it and it charges. That's what the birds do on power lines. So his van, which I just noticed, by the way, has the anti-bird things all along the top of it so the birds won't land on his van. nice. So he drove around and he actually did convince a lot of people that this was a real thing. It was in the dawn of the QAnon age, and he absolutely straight face told anyone that the birds weren't real. They are surveillance devices. And he got a following. I think when this was originally brought up on this podcast, we were like, wait, what? People believe this?
I believe when we did I gave you two fake and two and one real conspiracy theory.
Right.
Birds are
right.
Birds aren't real. We're in there as a real one. I believe I had it in there because I don't know if we knew at the time what the story was with this.
But well, it has become a real conspiracy theory.
Well, right, it's both.
You're right. It is both. You're right. There are people who believe it, but he... Well, go on with the story.
Yeah, he didn't actually believe this. He was experimenting and trying to see if he could... He wanted to make fun of QAnon and shove it in their faces that you guys will fucking believe anything. But he actually got followers. He actually got bird truthers. So now... He did an interview not too long ago, and he has said that he is now looking at teaming up with political pundits and advisors to use the information that he gained in his field research to help their campaigns so that he can influence people toward the politicians that he works for. So he's turning politician advisor.
Nice.
Interesting. Mm. I mean, I kind of think that's what the Republicans did with Trump.
Yeah.
Maybe unconsciously. With a little help from Russia.
I don't know how I feel about his multi-tiered grift.
Mm.
I love it.
Mm.
I
grift for the good?
How is it good?
Well,
It depends on who he works for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I guess it depends on who he's working for.
He's a mercenary. That doesn't make him good.
True. Huh.
And
do
I'm
we know
sure
who he's working for?
I do not. I'm
himself.
I'm sure that his.
No, we're talking about his new job, where he's going to be a consultant for some
Right. I'm sure that his field research has shown him that one side is slightly more vulnerable than the other.
Yeah.
So where's he going to make his money?
Yeah.
But again, well, maybe he, since he was very anti-QAnon, he might be like, well, maybe I can use my powers for good here.
It's possible.
And, you know, I could spread good conspiracy theories about getting vaccines.
And this all started when he was 19, when he was attending a women's rights march, and he scrawled "birds aren't real" on the back of a poster as kind of an off-the-cuff thing. And it kind of went viral from there, and he picked it up and ran with it.
I mean, listen, I wish I was 19 and had the time or the money to do something this stupid, because I've often thought, what stupid shit could I get people to believe?
Mm.
You know?
How do you convince them? Yeah.
Yeah, and he did it.
He did. Huh.
So he said at one point, I think for people who didn't grow up with the internet, they see my messaging and they just assume that it's real. Anyone from like Gen Z sees it and pretty much immediately assumes it's a joke. There's a sardonic sensibility that is worth mining.
Mm.
Ian, you know, you want to know why I'm not too worried about this guy? Because I don't feel like he made money off of this or embraced it and just kept going.
No, he's laying the groundwork to make money off of
it. But I mean, like, he could have suckered these people. And again, I don't know too much, but like,
fund my research.
Yes, sell the merchandise, start a podcast, get a page, you know, and then eventually just like, did I tell you guys a story about J.P. Sears and this deep dive I took on this guy? So
I don't remember.
You might recall years ago, he's a long haired redheaded guy with a beard on YouTube, and he put a couple funny videos out of like how to be a vegetarian or how to be spiritual. And it was basically like taking the piss out of vegetarians and how they constantly talk about it and shit like that. And there's a whole bunch of them I'm going all over the place. I started looking at his channel, and 10 years ago or 12 years ago, he was actually a legit spiritual guide and was putting videos of trying to help people with various problems, you know, like of rejection, hating themselves, like
amateur nice psychologist shit. Kind of stuff.
Right. And then he made this funny video about how to properly maximize your spirituality. And he put like this headband on and a little flower in his head. And he was basically taking the piss out of himself and his community. Right.
Mm.
And he started getting more and more the joke videos started getting more popular than the ones where he was actually talking about spirituality and trying to help people. So he kept making more and more of those, like how to pick a guru and this and that. And then guess what happened? COVID. Awaken with JP. Yes, he knows him, right? COVID happened, broke this fucker's brain because he was also already on that
woo-woo.
That far left side that hates vaccines, right? Now, a MAGA darling, this man. He is jacked up like on fucking roids or something. And now it's like, what would it be like if MAGA ran your high school? And it's basically him making fun of trans kids all the time. And like all his videos now are fucking horrible, like just horrible shit where he talks about how the news is fake and all this stuff like that. And yeah, he's kind of like a B-list Carrot Top now. And I'm watching his videos from 12 years ago, and he is like this nice, soft-spoken guy. And now he's like, oh, women can get, or men can get pregnant. This is stupid. It is an unbelievable turn. Huh. And that this turn happened because he made these videos of taking a piss out of people. But of course, when he did what, now the Republicans or the MAGA heads, they look at this and go, yeah, look at him making fun of these idiots, right? And he just leaned into it and got his money. And what brings us all back around is he did one video called How to Be a Flat Earther.
Mm.
And the video is making fun of flat earth people just consistently. He's showing maps and pointing. It's just so stupid in all the things that he's doing. And the flat earthers have bought into him now because there's obviously a connection between that and anti-trans and all this and anti-vaccine shit. That the comments on the video where he's making fun of flat earth, they go, oh, JP's just fucking with us. He really knows what's going on. He knows too much about Flat Earth to be making fun of us. This is a subtle way to get people into Flat Earth.
Oh.
Right?
Wow.
So, it's just, throughout this whole long story, I just said, I don't see the birds aren't real guy making that run for the cash like JP did.
But you never know.
He could.
He could.
I mean, like, listen, if he got hired by Lauren Boebert, then yeah, he's a piece right. of shit.
Yeah.
You know, if he's working with Bernie Sanders, okay, he's okay.
Yeah. Now, granted, the birds aren't real activists have been known to do things like flash mob an anti-abortion rally in order to protest.
Mm.
So I'm hoping that he's still on the side of good, so to speak.
I've also seen him on the Majority Report quite a bit, which is a left-leaning YouTube show, kind of like the Young Turks, sort of. And he goes on as his birds aren't real persona, but it's like usually like a joke interview for like 20 minutes where they right. talk to him.
It's like a Colbert thing. Yeah.
Kind of like that. Yeah.
Interesting. Huh.
So that was a long-winded way to get to my point. But if you guys do want to have some fun, look up JP Sears, go to his older videos, and then look at his newer videos, and just be amazed at the transformation of this soft-spoken gentleman who I believe had good intentions and got warped my money.
and probably steroids.
Steroids and another person where COVID just broke their fucking brain.
Yeah.
All right. Birds Aren't Real was the last thing I had. Do you guys have anything else?
I had just one quick thing to keep an eye on, and that is that recently, I don't know if anybody's noticed, because I don't think anybody reads Trump's Truth Social, but he has been posting other people's news articles on his site, but editing them. So he'll say, you know, this is an article from the New York Times, and he'll take out the parts where they're critical of him.
It's a wise man.
Yeah. I don't know why this has been continuing, because I can't imagine people are okay with their editorial content being edited and reposted by him, but this seems to be a thing now, so just FYI.
But if the parts that he is posting are actually on the article...
Yeah, but he takes out paragraphs and you know, edits lines and stuff. You can't do that. If you're reposting somebody else's, you know, editorial text, you can't edit it.
Well, sure you can. I mean, you have to. Other news agencies do it all the time. You take what you're doing, though. And you expand on it.
But you quote and you reference and you say what you've done, though. He's pretending that this is what they said in its entirety. He's just linking an article that's been edited.
Are you saying that there's someone posting untrue things on social media, pretending that they're real?
Yeah, but he's a...
I don't know, Karen.
Donald...
Something about what you're saying doesn't ring true.
Are you talking about Honest Don?
Honest Don, yeah.
Well, once he gets the horrible consequences for doing this, you know he'll turn his act right around.
Yeah.
I'm sure Trump has learned his lesson by now.
Our modern-day Nelson Mandela, Donald Trump.
Oh, man, I hope that is on Susan Collins' gravestone. Here lies Susan Collins. She finally learned her lesson.
All right. I think I'm going to start wrapping it up on that note.
Okay.
So first, I want to start off by thanking our patrons for supporting the podcast. We really do appreciate it, especially those of you who could be here tonight. Big Old Grumpy Wolf, Hezhen Gissen, Hypatia, and Nigel Hetherington Nasty Face. If you enjoy the podcast, you can join them, sign up on our Patreon page. If you can't do that, you could share the podcast on social media, leave a review for us wherever you happen to listen. If you want to contact us, you can on our Facebook page or on Twitter, X, I suppose. All the links are on profaneargument.com. Yay. Also, please check out other shows on the soon-to-be-named network. It's a podcasting network. You can find them all at soon-to-be-named-network.com. I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, I'm Ray.
I'm Karen.
I'm Jared.
This is Ian.
Thank you. Good night, and may your God go with you.